This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Doug will be with us shortly, coming from Oakmont, where he says there are a ton of traffic lights out, so there's been a lot of bad traffic. He'll be here in a couple of minutes. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. So we'll get into the draft with Doug. You have no idea where I'm about to take this now, Thorin.
I don't.
So Mets superfan has passed away, 98 years old, who is a World War II veteran. Seymour Wiener is his name.
Yeah.
Now, Seymour famously liked when people made jokes about his name. A guy who's comfortable in his own skin as a World War II vet, he would often make his own jokes about his name. Seymour Wiener, though, is such a name that I had to go and verify this on the Mets Twitter account. It's real.
Yeah, I thought it was fake.
I thought for sure it was fake. And we have high journalistic standards around this radio show. He is survived by his son, Can't See My. A robust young fella. Big boned. Can't See My Wiener. Thank you to him for his service. How you doing, Doug?
Wah, wah, wah.
You don't like Can't See My? That's great comedy. It's funny, though, right?
You're making fun of somebody's death.
He would have wanted that.
Okay. I want to know, though, what was Seymour's parents really thinking? Were they like, let's just be just right out cruel to this guy, to our son?
Or perhaps they're just a lot more mature than we are and it didn't even enter their mind.
Probably didn't, no.
Seymour could have been a family name.
Have to be.
Mm-hmm. We had a girl that went to St. Bernard's with us. Her last name was Butt, B-U-T-T. Mm-hmm. And that had to have been difficult.
Oh.
It's more difficult with a surname than the first name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No doubt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was her first name?
Fatima. Yeah. With true story.
No.
I swear to God.
P.F.?
No. No, it was not. You don't believe Fatima Butt? I swear to God.
No.
I swear to God, her name was Fatima Butt.
That's a Dorn. You're not.
Right.
Nope. That's a Dorn joke.
I'm not pulling your chain here.
Okay.
Because my dad, when we went in for one of these open houses, all the artwork that us fourth graders would be put up on the walls. And my dad, when we got home, he couldn't get off it. He was laughing about.
A lot of people wouldn't.
About
the
get
name.
Off Fatima's butt?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people wouldn't be able to.
Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Broad strokes here, Doug. First of all, good morning.
Morning.
Difficult travel?
Very difficult. That I'm in Oakmont. We don't have power. They're thinking about maybe a couple days, and then you're talking about trees down everywhere.
Yeah.
So
I hear that Oakmont Country Club, some of those structures they're putting up for the open, that they got blown around.
Oh.
I can't confirm or deny, but that's what we've been told on the text line.
Yeah, our neighbor's house got a big tree fell on it. It's one of those things where you realize that in the end, we all bend the knee to Mother Nature.
There's no question about that.
Yeah,
218,000 people without power right now, so we hope everyone out there is doing all right and that everyone's okay. All right, Doug, broad strokes. You like the draft for the Steelers?
Where do you want to go? You want to go Tomlin, the Steelers, or the players? Where do you want to start?
Start players.
Let's start with players. The players.
I think what they're showing you is what we all know, that even though they have maybe evolved in how they do things, trading a second round for DK Metcalf, paying them $150, the core of who they are and what they want to be has not changed. And we all can see that. They hit singles. They did not swing for the fences and try to hit a home run. But what I really like about this draft is when we had it going in the 2000s when I was there, we had the replacements on roster right away. We didn't have going into the draft saying, we need this guy, and had to get somebody that came in and played right away. Now, some guys like that happened, but when you're talking about the Sawyer, you have that guy that's, if Highsmith ever gets hurt or when he gets priced, maybe prices himself out as a free agent, he's already on that roster and he's getting reps. He's learning how to play that system. He's learning how to be a Steeler before you need him. So when he has to play, you don't have to ride that wave of up and down of these. So that's where I really like what they are doing. And people are like, it's not sexy. No, it's not sexy, but it's building a solid foundation for a team.
What about Mike Tomlin?
Mike Tomlin. Anybody ever seen that movie, Usual Suspects? Kaiser Sose. That's what he is. Again, he has manipulated the local, but not even the local, the national media to think that he was going after a quarterback. He did it with Malik Willis, and he's smiling. Now he's got his feet up on the desk eating those Fritos saying, I did it again. Oops, I did it again. He is the master manipulator. And I know you guys, I always say about Aaron Rodgers, him and Aaron will be teaching classes on how to manipulate the masses because he did it. It was brilliant, and we all fell for it. And I would just tip my hat to him. He is the master.
It was pretty tough to find a mock draft nationally in the last couple of weeks that didn't have the Steelers taking a quarterback more often than not Shador Sanders.
Absolutely.
And I'm guessing the league thought that they were going to do that too.
Yeah. And granted, might be a little easier because we're around and we kind of have that tunnel vision to manipulate us. But to manipulate the national media, I'm talking about get up everybody, like you said. That shows me that guy, say what you will about as a coach, but as a manipulator and somebody that wants to get a message across, he could be a guy that sell you a 2-gallon thing of Kool-Aid while he walks you to the dialysis. And you'd be like, thank you.
Yep.
Seriously.
Well, and they took Yaya Black, Y.A. Black.
Yeah, and he said no tackles are a dying breed.
They're a dying breed. We'll just take one in the fifth round.
I mean, so next year, let's all just say go the opposite of what he says. But he'll find another way to spin it.
He'll actually do it next year.
Yeah, exactly. This dude is, I mean, he's the top of his game. I don't care what, like I said, coaching, we can debate. But when you're talking about getting a message across or throwing some smoke signals, this dude is the man.
They're going to take a quarterback in the first round next year. That's not the mystery. If Tomlin wants to zig when everyone else thinks he's going to zag, talk up Drew Aller and then take Lenora Sellers. Like, whomever he talks up next year, although maybe next year's the year that he talks up the guy that they wind up drafting. That's, now everyone's guessing, Doug.
Big picture.
Exactly. Here. Big picture. This dude is the top of the league in that aspect. No doubt about it.
Okay, Steelers. I think that was the third one, right?
Yeah. And the Steelers, I look at it this way. As a whole, they saw their deficiency, and especially Mike Tomlin and the running game, and they wanted to beef up their defense. They knew that they had a highest paid defense that did not perform like the highest paid defense, especially in crunch time. So they're saying, this is what we have to do. We have to beef up that defense and not get seduced and go for the sexy pick, which would have been the quarterback. So it's the overall philosophy. And then I put that really on Art and the Rooney family. That's the philosophy that's been tried and true since they've owned the team, since day one. And it's still permeating now. And Art was like, yes, this is what we're going to do. So for me, they hit it out the park. Now, again, it's not sexy and it's not, oh, we got to score points and get more points than, no. It's what they are all about. So true Yinzer Steeler fans should be happy.
And I'm not going to give them benefit of the doubt that they got all this right. They haven't won a playoff game in 8 years. The process, though, is sound.
Yeah, they're telling you what they're all about.
Right. They have taken multiple offensive linemen now the last few drafts. Now they've switched the attention with Keanu Benton last year, Y.A. Black this year, Derek Harmon this year to the defensive front. It's the Andy Weidel Eagles thing. I don't know that they're going to hit on all these guys. No. None of us do. It's all educated guessing. But that is the way forward, particularly when you saw how this draft was going to play out. Mm-hmm. And, Doug, you said this way back in the middle of free agency that you loved the Steelers offseason. They go out, they get Darius Slay, right? They let all these guys walk so they can get the comp picks next year. They didn't want to have to address corner in this draft.
Right.
They knew it was a great defensive line draft and a deep running back draft, so they made all their moves this offseason around those positions of need so that they could acquire those positions in the draft.
And that's all you can say is, I'd rather have a team. Now, you're not going to bat 100%. There's a saying in evaluating, if you haven't missed, you haven't scouted. But to have a defined plan and execute it instead of just sit there and throwing darts at the dartboard or reacting when something happens, I'd rather have a front office with a plan and be able to enact it and enact it in a high level. So we'll see where it goes. We will. Now, obviously, the biggest question now is the QB position. And unfortunately, that's the most important position in football and I'd say in sports. So.
Do you think the Haslams pushed for Shador to get onto the Browns?
From what I was golfing with a guy from Cleveland yesterday, and everybody believes that's the case. No doubt about it. Because he 99.9% admitted that the Deshaun Watson thing was his call. So why wouldn't you just assume? But I think the way we saw everybody's reaction and everything in that draft room, I think it was him.
I'm not saying the Steelers are doing everything right, but I look at Jackson Dart. He winds up going to the Giants, where Brian Daboll's trying to save his job, and maybe he thinks first-year quarterback will piece it all together this year. We'll see if that guy can develop a little bit, even if he doesn't start the year. Maybe that buys me some more time. Mm-hmm. I look at Cleveland, what a total mess that is. And if that's the case, if it's Haslam, and we'll get back to the Steelers in just a second here, this is a brief aside, if the Haslam's pushed for Shador Sanders to be on the team, they're going to be pushing for him to start.
That's where it's going to be very interesting. That's where you'd be like, oh, you know, being in the media in Cleveland would not be that bad. Right?
No,
oh.
I mean, but why take Dylan Gabriel, though, in the third
round? Yeah, that's where it's going to be like, wait a minute, if you're pushing for him to start, where did Dylan Gabriel come in? Did you let your people that you hired take Dylan Gabriel, and then you came in and said this? In the end, you sign the checks, you're going to get what you want.
Doug, what do you even do in that situation?
Yeah, just like if your boss came in and said, we want to do this. All right. That's what you got to do.
Crowley, talk about cricket today.
Yeah.
All right. Signing my paychecks.
Exactly. Because it's their team. Now, the issue comes when there's this thing called owner amnesia. And that's when the owner pushes for this guy. This guy stinks. And then he says, why'd you take that guy? I didn't.
You told me to.
Well, or you missed on this quarterback, so here's your pink slip. Wait a minute. You're the one that said we got it. That's where you just got to be careful. As long as you don't have owner amnesia, hey, it's your team. You can do whatever you want.
You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Most agree that the Steelers got good value out of their sixth round pick, Will Howard, who a lot of people thought would go in the fourth round, maybe even ahead of that. I want to talk about what their plan could be with him coming back. Some superlatives in this draft with Doug Whaley. Social media's Biggest Loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. Doug Whaley joining us until the end of the show. Doug, there's still no Aaron Rodgers, so let's go about this with both avenues here. Let's say Rodgers doesn't come in. Are you looking to acquire another veteran quarterback to add to the room with Mason Rudolph and Will Howard, or do you just let Mason start and Will Howard be the backup? How do you go about that, do you think?
I think they would go through the offseason with Mason and Will just to give Will time. I would hope they would do that. So give Will time some good reps and see how he can develop and if they have something that's better than a six rounder. And if he's ready to take that step, like he did from Kansas State to Ohio State. And then maybe you feel a lot better that you don't have to get that veteran guy to come in. If he doesn't, then you take your time. You see what shakes loose. There's some post-June 1 cuts. See if anybody just gets shaken out of the tree. And then you sign that veteran guy later. So I would hope they wouldn't sign a guy until camp if Aaron Rodgers doesn't come.
I know you're not high on Ohio State quarterbacks. You've said that multiple times just, you know, throughout the history. But what was your evaluation of Will Howard after this year?
I thought he was of that second group. I didn't see his combine workout. So I know he had a bad one from what everybody says. But from his tape, I always tell you there's a difference between accuracy and placement. And accuracy is the guy catches it, and placement is putting it in a position where the receiver can make a play after the catch. I thought that was one of his best traits. And then when you look at him at Kansas State, he is a big guy that has some ability to run. So I can see there's a vision, I think, from Tomlin and that offensive staff with him. And it might be that stuff that we thought they were going to do with Fields, a little bit of Fields and maybe, but a little better passer. And I am not a big Ohio State fan, but Stroud has changed my opinion, and maybe Will Howard. So I'm starting to back off of that. And that's why I always say, one of the things I learned when you start evaluating is don't lock your knees. You may believe something, but things change. So I'm not locking my knees, and I'm giving leeway to Ohio State. So I'm a fan of Will Howard, especially where they got him.
What makes that such a difficult evaluation? They just have so many good players, like clean pockets, great skill position.
Yeah, everybody's going to say, well, anybody could have done that stuff.
Yeah.
But that's where I look at what am I going to hang my hat on? Yes, he had great players. I mean, look at the receiving core, offensive line. I think three of them went in the draft. What he did, though, is every ball was like right here. If there was a DB behind him, he put it in front of him. A DB in front of him, he put it behind him. He put it where the guy can get the yak. So Mike Sullivan would have had a much easier job then, too, as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
did you have a yak coach, by the way, Doug?
Did not have a yak coach, no.
Doran, I thought you had good analysis on that earlier, though. I mean, I was making fun of it, and you're like, well, it could be more about, hey, these plays have led to more yak, that kind of thing.
Yeah, against certain defenses, it's like you could break down – you know, what you did on offense the week before, you're playing, say, the Cincinnati Bengals this week. It's like, okay, they give up this percentage of yak yards on these type of routes. So let's kind of implement those type of routes and what we did well, what we don't do well, are percentages on routes where receivers are on the move more than just kind of comeback routes or hitch routes.
Or like you're playing Tampa 2, you know that middle linebacker's going to play that deep third. You hook up right in the middle where he vacated the zone. You're going to have extra space. So catch, turn, you're going to get at least 5 or 6. And if you have any movement and ability to break people's ankles, 10 or 20. So, yeah, absolutely.
Someone says, who cares if Doug is a fan of the team or not? This is amateur hour. That's not what you're saying. You're not saying you root for or root against Ohio State. What you're saying is there's been exactly one quarterback to come out of Ohio State that's been good in the NFL, and that was recent C.J. Stroud.
Right.
Just want to make sure we clear that up there. I didn't think it needed to be clarified, but here we are.
Thank you for doing that.
I got your back, Doug.
Appreciate it.
That's right. We're a team.
I want it, as long as you don't have fatter more butts back.
it's just unbelievable.
Someone says they worked with a Peter Swallow for many years.
Mm.
He respectfully asked to be referred to as Pete.
What do you think of the, real quick, Shedeur Sanders drop and slide? What's your theory around that?
Okay. I'll say this. If people think that he slid because of outside factors that trumped his playing ability, I will say this. What's more beholden to the institution in the NFL than one of the principles is the draft, correct? Eli Manning. He basically said, if you draft me, Chargers, I'm not coming. That, to me, would be more red flag to be blackballed than a big entourage of social media people and your dad.
But Eli was the first pick of the draft.
Because Eli had talent.
Mm-hmm.
What the NFL is trying to tell you is that probably played into it, but his talent didn't trump what was the baggage that was going to come. If he would have been a talented guy, he would have been drafted higher. And although we all thought in the media that he 32 teams with general managers and scouting staffs that their family eat off of what they do and how they decided he wasn't that good. So us in the media, the Mel Kuypers, the Louis Riddicks, that's great. They can say it. And I'm sure if they're right, they're going to be replaying that all the time. If they're wrong, no one's going to bring that up. All I'm saying is the people that are truly accountable are showing you that, yes, he has some talent, but the talent didn't match with what you'd have to deal with. That's my thought.
Yeah, if Andrew Luck interviewed poorly, you're going to overlook that because the guy could throw it 65 yards through a keyhole.
And Andrew Luck had Oliver Luck, his dad, famous quarterback, AD at West Virginia, knows the game, was probably going to be around. No one cared.
Shedeur did not have an agent either. And a lot of people have been making something out of that in recent days, that they didn't have a good evaluation of where or how he was viewed. And thus, when he's acting like that, some people have thrown out there that maybe he was tanking some of these interviews on purpose because he didn't want to wind up with teams because maybe he didn't have a clear evaluation. I totally see what you're saying, Doug. If this is someone who is evaluated as a third-round talent who most likely profiles as a backup, and that might have been the evaluation, mm-hmm. you can't take that distraction on for a backup quarterback.
Right, correct. Exactly.
He's going to play every now and again if the guy that you want to be playing is hurt. You can't have him having baggage.
So when it comes down to it, was a lack of awareness by Shador in his camp. That's all it is. And that's a good point. I didn't know he didn't have an agent. It might have been that agent. But with his dad being his dad, I'm sure they didn't think they needed one.
Right.
So,
right.
And then really think about it this way, too. What I noticed in this draft is usually quarterbacks got a round bumped. They didn't get it in this year's draft.
That would point out to what the collective group think has been that next year is the year.
Yeah.
Even though we've doubted that a little bit because you just don't know now. But that's what this year's draft told us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, two starter caliber guys went in round one. If you weren't getting a starter, why draft right. one high?
Yep, exactly. Yep. So that to me is, and it's always, oh, this guy is sliding. In the media's eyes, he's sliding. But when the guys, like I said, that are accountable, they're not sliding.
Did he have third round talent though? Like, let's say everything else is what round does his talent go in?
I would say third because I think he had again, like we said, there's nothing really dynamic about his game, so he would have been at best a low level starter,
mm-hmm.
a guy that would have to have everything perfect around him, like a number one rushing attack, a DK, I mean, a bunch of talent around him, and a system. That people were like, okay, this is what you do well. You just have to do bend too many things for him to be highly successful. Mm-hmm. Could he have been a 8-9, 9-8 type guy? Sure. But when you're talking first round, you're talking about a guy that can lead you to the promised land.
Right.
You're hoping.
Doug, were you very protective of your iPad with all the personal phone numbers on it? I mean,
I left all that
cow.
Stuff. Actually, we told the guys, leaving it, we left it all in the draft room. So you wouldn't have accidents like it. You just remove the chance and the possibility of any of that thing happening. You just left all your stuff in there, locked it up, and that's it.
Do you ever have a draft pick who's like, are we sure this is Doug Whaley calling right now?
No, because what we used to do is the day before the draft, we'd break all the numbers up by the scouts, and they would call and say, hey, is this checking on their numbers? But also say, if you see a 716, blah, 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 that's going to be us. You'll know it's legit. So we removed that doubt as well.
I never once thought about this in my entire life until this happened.
Really?
Yeah.
I've thought about it a bunch of times. You didn't think that somebody would just prank call even one of your friends? I thought my friends would do it.
See that?
No.
I could see. I just never thought that it would get out the way that it did.
Oh, you're saying that side, like okay.
It's just not something. Now it seems like the most obvious prank in the world. Mm. But I just had never thought about that before.
But you'd have.
I was
to
also
have,
never drafted.
Right. But you'd also have to be in a position to have access to those numbers.
Right.
So,
man, what a weird situation.
It's gonna be interesting to see the fallout from that. But again, if it goes to Atlanta, you have to be able to tell these guys. This is privileged and confidential information. If it gets out, you're going to be responsible. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens for them.
Yeah, you're in the jackpot then. You were careless with the iPad, if we believe the story. Like, something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, coming up next, how are the Steelers going to fold some of these draft picks in? Doug Whaley with us until 10 o'clock Wednesday with Whaley. Steelers with their second pick in the draft, third round. Took Caleb Johnson, running back out of Iowa. Was like the 19th fastest running back at the combine, but some of the advanced measurements that you can now do these days had him clocked going 22 miles per hour in game with the Hawkeyes. A lot of people have compared him to Najee Harris. I'm not really seeing it. They say he ran the zone scheme there in Iowa, Doug, and that he's a perfect fit for this system. And then you just watch some of the highlights. He's running away from people. In a way that Najee Harris wasn't in college. You think they start with Jaylen Warren and then slowly but surely he takes over? Or do you think he could be the guy day one?
My hot take is he's the guy day one and keep Jaylen Warren as 1B because I think that's where he's most effective and that will help protect Jaylen Warren against himself. I mean, because of the way Jaylen Warren plays, he is going to expose himself to injury if you give him an increased role.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather keep him where he is, where he can have the best and most impact. And when you start talking about evolution of this game, I think more and more teams are going to start looking at that miles per hour when they are playing, because that's when you need the speed. There is time speed, and then there's speed carrying your pads.
Mm-hmm.
And that's him carrying his pads in a competitive situation. I'm going to run faster when a dog's chasing me than when I'm running against my son. So that's what I'm saying. And it's what you want to see. A guy with a helmet, shoulder pads, and in a competitive situation, I want to see who tops out at the highest miles per hour. So if it won't happen because the combine's such a made-for-TV event, but teams are going to start looking at that more than the 40.
Just put a little weight vest on it that, you know, has the same amount that pads would be, and then let them run with the weight vest at the combine.
But how many times in a football game are you going to run 40 yards straight with no impediment?
Very
rare.
So it's
not football.
Right.
Not.
Very rare.
Very rare, especially at the running back position.
Mm-hmm.
If you're that good at the running back position, that means your offensive line is good and your receivers are blocking downfield and you have one guy to beat and you make him miss and then that's it. But you still got to make that one guy miss. You're not making anybody miss on that 40-yard dash. So that's all I'm saying. But that's why my point being is, when you tell me that number, that makes me even more excited because his running skills are very, very good. I like him.
You drafted Robert Woods in Buffalo.
Yeah, love him.
How will he fit with the Steelers? They just signed him 1 year, $2 million. I mean, obviously, what, his 13th year or something?
Yeah.
14th year now?
He's going to bring an element of toughness to that room. He is going to be that slot guy that can go in, make the tough catch. But he, like I said, he's going to elevate that grittiness of that wide receiver room. George Pickens should learn a lot from him, and especially DK. So those two, you're going to have some. I'll remember this. You always have training camp fights. But I remember Robert Woods just hauled off and just clocked a guy right in the helmet. And I'm like, yo, man, your hands are your moneymaker. You can fight, punch him in the stomach or whatever. I don't care you fight. Just don't hit him in the helmet. I don't need you to break your hand and be out 5 or 6 weeks. But that's his mentality. He's going down swinging. I love that guy. Now, granted, I'm partial to him because I drafted him second round, and it was him and Kiko Alonso when we traded down. Now, this is how drafts go. We trade down, get Kiko Alonso, had a great career before he got, not great, very good career, got hurt. Robert Woods, 13 year, but our first pick was, I was assistant there, GM, was EJ Manuel. So you hit some, you miss some.
I mean, Robert Woods had a hell of a career.
Hell of a career.
And Goodwin.
Good one, too.
Goodwin, yeah. You drafted him that year, too. So yeah, Robert Woods and Goodwin, too. 10-plus year guys.
Yeah, I mean, that's a long time. Very productive. Did you go back and look at some of the Rams numbers, too? I mean, 88 catches, 90 catches. And it's not like you need him to be wide receiver, too.
No.
It's not like Van Jefferson or Allen Robinson the year before. This is a depth piece who's got the right attitude, who's going to knock people on their butts. And overall, you can see the vision with the offense. A big fly in the ointment. Don't know exactly who the quarterback's going to be right now. They probably have a better idea than we do. They all seem confident. So do all the beat writers that this Aaron Rodgers thing is going to get figured out. And Art Rooney II said so much this weekend. But one of the statistics, in addition to the 22 miles per hour that I really like with Caleb Johnson, is out of all the running backs who came out in this class, nobody faced a crowded box more than Caleb Johnson by a significant margin. Iowa wasn't throwing the football.
They never do.
So you're stacking the box. That's what Najee had to face the last few years. I don't think Caleb Johnson's going to have to face a crowded box all that often when you've got George Pickens and Dante Moncrief Dorin.
Oh, my gosh.
DK Metcalf.
He said Dez Bryant the other day. Called him Dez Bryant.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Sure you don't have CTE?
No, I'm not. I think the power went off in my head.
Okay.
Dante Moncrief is at least DM. DK Metcalf. I don't know where the hell Dez Bryant came from.
Moncrief, I think, wore 14, though, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
And isn't that what DK wore?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. So I'm saving
you. He's got your back.
See, both of you have already saved my ass in today's show. But the theory stands, right? I mean, okay, stack the box, Jerome Peril. These guys will make some big-time plays down the field.
Again, see the plan? So you may not like it, but I think they have a plan, and they have a vision of what they want to do, and they're going after it and accomplishing it with all check marks in my book so far.
You are significantly more explosive at wide receiver. It's not even close. No. I mean, it's not even close, and I think you're more explosive at running back.
Yes.
And I like the theory, Doug. You know what Jaylen Warren can do, what he's good at, and how he fit into the ecosystem. Keep him in the same exact role and let Caleb Johnson figure it out. Because, Doran, you've said this in the past. It's an easier transition at running back than pretty much any position in the NFL, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you've been, most guys, if you're athletic, you've been playing running back since you were six.
And it's instinctive. Yeah. I remember we were watching, I played with Curtis Martin, and we were watching a review on the film one day as a team, and Kurt just saw something that no one saw. And coach was like, Kurt, what'd you see? He goes, I didn't. I just knew that's where to go. And that's what it was, just instinctive. He was like, I didn't see it. It was just, boom, you do it. Because I can feel it. I can see, I just got eyes in the back of my head. It's just, and that's why that position is easier. Either you got it or you don't.
Pretty good player, that Curtis Martin.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Pretty decent.
Yeah.
You see, the streak was snapped for the Whippy.
Yeah.
32 years, right?
It's 93.
That's
now,
insane.
Is the Super Bowl thing still going?
I think so. Yeah.
There was a Whip Hill player in there. In Super, or no, it was Big 33.
Big 33. Yeah.
Big 33. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, 32 years.
But there would have been a Whip Hill player in the Super Bowl, Justin Watson.
Yeah.
If that streak is a thing this year.
See if the texters know if the Big 33 streak is still going.
412-928-9370.
I guess Curtis Martin would have been the last Whip Hill player to get, or the first one to get drafted since 93, right? He got drafted in, I think the streak started in 93,
yeah,
I believe.
So, because it was 90. No, he was after that. He was 94.
He went 95.
He went 95. 95. What about Gilbert? Maybe it was Sean Gilbert.
Gilbert was 90. No, Gilbert was 92.
Hmm.
So they took a year off. Yeah, he was 92.
Yep.
Look at you guys. Your Whippeel knowledge.
Close.
All right, one more segment with Doug Whaley coming up next. All right, we went down a rabbit hole on this Whippeel draft statistic. First time since 93 that a Whippeel player was not selected in the NFL draft, which, my God, guys, what a run.
That's a long time, man.
What a run. A lot of that Pitt's doing, obviously. The 94 draft, Anthony Peterson, Eric Rivati, Gus Frerotte, Andrew Hewitt.
My neighbor.
From Lebo. Gus Frerotte's your Lebo? Or your,
no, neighbor.
Lebo, your neighbor.
Yeah, in Oakmont.
Rob Holmberg from Mount Pleasant. 95 had Ty Law.
Laying down the law.
97, Jason Taylor, Mike Logan. 98, Batch kept it going himself.
By himself.
By himself from Steel Valley. 60th overall
the
pick
Lone
by the
Ranger.
Detroit Lions. What a career he had, too.
Oh, great.
That's
great.
The thing about Will Howard.
Yes.
Oh, no, he's not a starter. Okay, he's a cheap backup
for
God knows how long.
Guy like that and one of my good friends, Alex Van Pelt, you play 10 years. Then you can go easily transition to a coach or media. His life's set.
Media's hard, Doug, please. I'm trying to see what years there was only one guy to keep the streak going. Mm-hmm. So you had Batch in 98, who was just the lone Whippeel guy taken. 2013, you had Eric Cush out of Chartiers Valley, went in the sixth round. He was the only one. 2015, Jesse James was the only one from South Allegheny.
Mm.
I think that's it.
The other ones were
just 3 years where it was a single guy who kept the streak going. Every other year had multiple guys. I mean, we grow that good talent around here.
Was it just three guys in my draft? I think it was just three.
Sean Lee, Gronk, and you.
Yeah. Thought I was missing one.
Before we go, I know we got to leave here in a second. I just want to, you know, every once in a while I'll give you Whaley words of wisdom. In life and any situation, you're either the hustler or the customer. And if you don't know what you are, then you're the sucker. And I think about that when I look at Tomlin in the press conference now. Yep. Coming into the draft, we all were the customers, and some of us were the suckers.
We should have known, too.
Should have known.
I'm not sure what that yielded them, because that's the kind of stuff you'll just never know who moved around what because of what they liked and who all these teams thought they liked. I'll tell you, I'm not sure he had an eye on this. Maybe he did. He'll pay dividends next year. If you can get people thinking that you're interested in a quarterback that you're not.
Absolutely.
And that's, you might have your eye on somebody else, and next year's the year, it's a big deal.
You want to talk about playing the long game.
Yeah. That's I think it's going to be Sellers, though.
Good for him.
I'm gonna ride that all the way until
Sellers?
April next year. Yep.
Maybe Sellers will be my guy, but if we have different guys, that'll be fun.
Yeah. We all got to have different guys.
A
lot of people are going to get on the Aller train. I think Aller's going to have a good year, so I think that his name's going to be through the roof here in Pittsburgh.
I'm still waiting for it on Aller. And what's crazy about Aller when you bring him up is, you know, Penn State fans who murdered him after the Notre Dame game will now come to his defense as this great prospect. You can't have it both ways. He's got all the measurables. He's got all the tools. The first time I saw him play was against West Virginia, and my God, twice did he hand it to my guys. Against a big-time competition, not so great.
That is akin to one Kirk Cousins. And that to me, is that's all he needs to answer. He needs to perform at a high level when they need him most and when the lights are brightest. If he does that, I could see him going very high. If he doesn't, then that's going to be that fly in the ointment. Like, well.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like they've addressed wide receiver. They have both running backs coming back. They made the Final Four last year.
Got their offensive coordinator back. He didn't take a head coach job.
Yep. Yeah. They should be a national championship contender this year. And if they're not, he's going to get a lot of the scrutiny, deservedly so.
Well, and I'll say this, and I parsed this out. Franklin, yes, you can talk about his coaching, but you cannot talk about the talent he gets on that team.
No, they and if you do, he'll attack you in the stands.
But they have put multiple first-rounders in the league.
Mm-hmm.
He is a hell of a recruiter. Now, game day management has something to be desired.
Texter, great Lebo today. I mean, great show. All right. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. You can join me, Adam Crowley, and True Fan Travel on a once-of-a-lifetime adventure to Ireland when the black and gold play across the pond this fall. 5 nights in Dublin. That includes tours of Guinness and Jameson, pregame tailgate party, game tickets, and more. Hotel and air or land-only packages are available. For information on how you can take over Ireland with me, go to the 937thefan.com homepage. Doug, are you going to Ireland? He's gone. I just see his butt. He's bent over. Your butt was in front of the microphone. Your Fatima butt.
Fatima butt. No, I'm not going to Ireland. I think I'm going to hold off until Pitt plays Wisconsin in 27.
Yep. So he's picking you, Doran, over me, what's happening there.
Shocker.
Yep. West Virginia over Pitt? Please.
Walked right into it.
Yep.